Well, good morning, Journey Church. Good morning. If you don't know me, my name is Jesse, and I get to be one of the pastors here. And today has already been a really great day, but I'm just really glad that you are here to join us for this whole day. Whether you are online, you are here in person, thanks for joining us. As we get started this morning, I need some help. Actually, it's pretty dark. Help, there was help coming. That's the help right here. Here it is. It's dark over here, so I'm going to move you over just a little bit. If you are on the opposite side, you may not be able to see as well. I apologize. Just know that it's going to be really funny. Josh, I need you to do me a favor. That weight right there, just grab it and just hold it out in front of you. Just hold it straight out in front of you. Don't let it drop. You can pick it up higher if you want, but you can't go straight up. Just hold it straight out. You're a strong guy. You got this. I'm also going to be preaching over here, so try not to be too distracting. This morning, we are continuing in our series, Better Together, where we've been diving deeper into some of the one another commands that we find in Scripture, showing us that God has a design for how we should treat one another, making us better together. Tell you what, if that's what, you can use both hands. Do you need both hands? There it is. There it is. Okay. This series, now, it was designed for Journey Church, for those who call Journey home, because we want to be growing together, right? So that we can flourish by being better together. If you consider yourself a visitor or a guest, or you're still not even entirely sure what it is that you believe, I'm glad that you're here too. And I'm confident that there will still be something here for you. Have you ever tried to like something because it seems like everybody else likes it? But no matter how hard you try, you just can't get there? TV shows, Seinfeld, Friends, The Office, Ted Lasso, right? Or movies, Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, any of the Marvel movies. Or even normal things like meatloaf or casseroles or peas or pretzels. And so no matter how much you try to like them, you can't. You can't get there. Or do you ever feel like doing something that makes sense in your mind? It should be easy, but it feels impossible, right? You good? Arch back just a little bit. You good? Yeah, you got this. You got this. Okay. Have you ever felt that way about church? Where it feels like going to church, being at church, should be easier than it is. Right? You look around and you see people worshiping. You see them singing. And you wonder, why can't I get there? You see people laughing and praying and connecting with one another. And you wonder why it feels so hard for you. And it's frustrating because you know it's possible. You've been there before. You've done it before. You've been able to connect and have a relationship with the Lord and with others. But now, just nothing. So it feels more like pushing. I told you not to distract them. Come on, you got this. You got this. So it feels more like pushing a boulder up a hill or holding a weight out in front of you. It's hard. Josh, do me a favor. While still doing that, can you turn to Colossians 3? We'll be there in just a minute. Tell you what, if you need help holding that so that you can do that, you can pull somebody else up here. But both of you have to have at least one hand on the weight holding it out in front of you. Yeah? Aaron Vincent, everybody. Now, here's the good news. If you're having difficulty doing church or trying to figure out why it's so hard, you're not alone. We've all felt this at one point or another. In fact, there's a really good chance that there are those in this room right now who are currently feeling that. These guys. Okay, you got to hold it out in front of you. You're cheating right there. There it is. There it is. Hold it out. Right now, while there are a few possible reasons why church feels difficult, We're just going to focus on one this morning. Because there's a really good chance that if you're feeling that, you might be unnecessarily holding on to something that you don't need to be holding on to. Right? And that thing is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness seems like it might be more of a private issue. It's just between me and this other person. But the truth is, it does way more damage than you think. Here's a couple reasons. Unforgiveness hardens your heart. Right now, as you consider other people, you are suspicious. You're slow to trust, quick to assume. Unforgiveness poisons relationships. There's a bitterness that takes root inside your heart and starts to affect all of your different relationships. It comes out in the way that you talk and the way that you act with one another. It even seeps into your worship. Unforgiveness also blocks your healing. God offers freedom, but unforgiveness has a way of convincing you to hold tighter onto your pains and your hurts rather than to the promises of God. Unforgiveness also disrupts unity. When we withhold the very thing that makes us Christian, right, it sends a confusing message to those around us who don't know Jesus. And it misrepresents Jesus. Right? I think I just said that. Like, I'm confused by them. They're distracting me. Right, but this right here, if you can't see them, this, what they're doing right here, right, this is how many of us are trying to live. This is how we're trying to love. This is how we're trying to follow Jesus while carrying something that isn't ours to carry. Forgiveness plays a much larger role than we realize. It's not just for our own healing, but also for how we live in this community of faith. Jesus said, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Jesus makes it clear that unresolved conflict gets in the way of true worship. Now, while in this passage, Jesus is talking about someone having something against you, the principle works in both directions, whether you're the one hurt or the one who's done the hurting. Unforgiveness will always interfere with your connection to God and others. Things are way more complicated and distracting than they need to be. If you're unwilling to let go, you stay stuck. Everything stays difficult. Now, if I'll give you a choice. You can stay here for the rest of my sermon if you'd like, or you can let it go. Which would you rather? Yeah? Okay, without breaking the stage, go ahead. You can set it down on the ground. Now, real quick, you were just the friend helping, so I'm not worried about you as much. Josh, what was better? Was it better to let go or holding on to it?
No, I'm happy to let it go.
Letting it go, yeah. Seems to make sense. Hey, give it up for the Vincent brothers. There you go. Thank you, gentlemen. Now, in a illustrative manner, that is the picture of forgiveness. Right, choosing to let go of that thing that's weighing you down, that's slowing you down, that's keeping you separated, that's making life way more difficult than it needs to be. And so you've got a choice. You can hold on to it if you want to, or you can let it go. But it's only through letting go that you find freedom, deeper connection with God and others, and being better together. And so this is the main point that we're headed towards this morning. We are better together when we forgive one another. Won't you turn with me in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3? Hey, look, I'm already there. If you don't have your Bible with you today, but you do have a smart device, you can point your camera at one of those QR codes and you'll be taken to the whole chapter that we'll be in today. This morning, though, our main passage, we're going to focus just on verses 12 and 13. And so Colossians 3, starting at verse 12, why don't you follow along with me? Having been... Nope, that was chapter 2. Put on, then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. This is the word of God. We believe it to be true. We believe that it is perfect for knowing who God is and how to have a relationship with him. Chapter 3 in the letter to the Colossians is where Paul pivots from deep theology, where he's been talking about the supremacy of Christ and the fullness that believers have in him, to practical application. If the book of Colossians were a sermon, chapter 3 would be the application. Chapter 3 would be the, okay, so now what do I do with this? And so if we look back, or we look kind of over the whole chapter, in verses 1 through 4, Paul is saying that we are to seek the things above. Because we've been raised with Christ, our identity and our perspective is now shaped by heaven, not by things of the world. In verses 5 through 11, Paul says that we are put the old self to death. As we are made new in Christ, we are called to get rid of our old self and all of our destructive patterns and behaviors, especially those that hurt the community and distort God's image. Things like sexual immorality, evil desires, covetousness, anger, wrath, malice, lying, as well as cultural, ethnic, and social barriers. And then, verse 12 and on, Paul tells us then that we are to put on the new self. Now that we are clothed in the character of Christ, we live a life that is marked by love, peace, forgiveness, and mutually building up of the body of Christ. And then he sums it all up with verse 17. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. It's a pretty great chapter. Verse 13 is where Paul then, within this whole framework, he says, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Now, it's clear that all of chapter 13 isn't focusing on forgiveness. But if becoming this new creation, this new self, means that we are literally putting Jesus on like a new outfit, it is clear that forgiveness is pretty essential to that outfit. We don't get to wear love, peace, and humility while also holding on to bitterness, grudges, anger, and withholding forgiveness. Here at Journey Church, right, this family of faith, we are all some kind of messy. We say it a lot. We don't say it because it sounds nice and because it sounds pretty and it makes us feel good. We say it because it's true. We are all some kind of messy. But because we also believe that God is actively at work, we stick around when our mess starts to show. When we can't hide it anymore, we stick around. We're a part of this. Meaning that conflict is inevitable. It's going to happen. And so it's here that forgiveness becomes then our relational glue where we would be lost and separated without it. Because we are always going to be better together when we forgive one another. Now, before we get into what forgiveness is, I'd like to share a couple examples of what forgiveness isn't, just to make sure that we're on the same page. For starters, forgiveness is not saying, I'm fine. It's fine. It's okay. Whatever. It's done. It's over. It's fine. I'm fine. It's fine. Whatever. It's done. Whatever. Right? Clearly. Right? That's not forgiveness. That's just avoidance, which then eventually will turn into repression. Better illustrated, you've probably seen it, that cartoon dog that's sitting in a room full of fire just saying, eh, this is okay. Forgiveness is not ignoring that something has happened. Forgiveness is not saying the words, I forgive you, and then following it up with ghosting them or punishing them through the silent treatment. Or then on the other end of the spectrum, forgiveness is not saying the words, "I forgive you," and then slamming every door possible as you walk through the house, even in opening a few more just so you can slam them again. It's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is not waiting for the other person to figure out that they've done something wrong, to put everything back together, and then come to you with an apology. That's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is not saying that you forgive them and then adding tasks and expectations or requirements in order that they continue to demonstrate their guilt and shame and sorrow for what they have done. A couple churches ago, I was on the receiving end of that. While they used the word forgiveness, it sure never felt like it. Forgiveness isn't denial, it's not avoidance, and it's definitely not conditional or convenient.
That's correct.
So, then what is forgiveness? At the end of verse 13, Paul says that we must forgive as the Lord forgave. And this isn't a suggestion. It is a pattern to be followed. It's an expectation of believers. And what we find is that God's forgiveness is always first, full, final, and forever. And so first, God's forgiveness is always first. God goes first. God is the one who pursues us and initiates relationships, restoration, and reconciliation.
Amen.
God always initiates. He didn't wait for us to come to him, right? He didn't wait for us to clean up our act, get rid of all of our mess. God wasn't sitting there with holding on to forgiveness, saying, "Just come apologize and I'll give it to you." It was his kindness and his love toward us that came first.
Amen.
Before confession, before repentance, before we even knew we needed it, God made the first move. Hebrews 11 reminds us that without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. And so where is it that this faith comes from? Paul's letter to the Ephesians says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." And this is not your own doing. It's the gift of God.
Amen.
Not a result of works, so that
Amen.
No one may boast. And so do you see what this is? Right? Do you see what's happening? Right? This first standard of God's forgiveness, that's the gospel. God initiating forgiveness first is the gospel message. Because of our sin, because of our rebellion, our born-in natural disposition to sin, right? To do what we want, when we want, how we want, separated us from God.
Amen.
Forever. To be eternally separated from anything that was good and making zero way for us to fix that. It becomes impossible to have a relationship with him because of our sin.
Amen.
And so this is the bad news. This is the bad news for every single person that will ever exist. But in Romans we read, "But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners," while we were still separate, while we were still messy, while we were still doing our own thing in our own way for our own reasons and beliefs, not caring one bit about who God was or what he wanted or anything, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Yes.
This is not just the good news, it is the best kind of news. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. You brought nothing to the table. You had nothing to bring to the table.
Amen.
And yet Christ willingly, lovingly died for you, making it possible to receive that forgiveness and experience a restored relationship with God.
Amen.
This is the love of God. This is the first and greatest standard of what it means to forgive. God's forgiveness is always first. God's next standard is that his forgiveness is always full. The Bible says he, being Jesus himself, bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed.
Amen.
There's no cutting corners. There's no partial payments. God always forgives in full. Every sin, every failure, every act of rebellion, every hidden shame was paid for in full at the cross. The debt that you owe, wiped away.
Cleared.
No matter how big or small. One of Jesus' closest friends, John, he wrote that he, Jesus, again, is the propitiation, which is a big word, saying that he was the accepted payment. Jesus is the accepted payment for our sins. And not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. I need you to hear this. You do not have a sin that God cannot forgive.
Yes.
Or that God will not forgive. You yes. cannot out-sin God's forgiveness.
Come on.
You can't. Because God's forgiveness is always full. God's forgiveness is also always final. The psalmist writes, "As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us." And again, the writer of Hebrews reminds us of God's word, saying, "I will remember their sins no more." God doesn't tally our sins. He's not keeping record. Or he's not waiting to throw them back in our face, saying, "Ah, see? See? I knew you were going to do it again. You always do this." That's not what he does. When God forgives, it's full and it's final. It's done. And then finally, God's forgiveness is always forever, meaning that he is always going to forgive you.
Amen.
Always. 1 John says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." If we confess, he will forgive. Not that he might, or he's going to think about it, or we got to make sure we jump through all the right kind of hoops to prove that we really mean it this time. If we confess, he will forgive every single time.
Amen.
Every time we need it, he has promised to give it. By God's grace, those moments in between needing to ask for forgiveness will grow. But even if they don't, God's forgiveness is always forever. We are better together when we forgive one another the way that God forgave us.
Amen.
First, full, final, forever. These are his standards. These are the expectations for forgiveness. If we've been clothed with Christ, right? If we are that new creation, this is how we are to forgive one another. This is it. So then, how do we live that out? How do we do that? How do we go from wanting to forgive the way that God has forgiven us to actually doing it? Well, it just so happens that I've got five simple, they're not easy, but five simple steps to align our heart with God's that allow us to forgive the same way he does. First one, talk to God. Forgiveness starts with God because it comes from him. We can't offer first, full, final, and forever forgiveness if we're not drawing from the source. Starting here aligns our heart with his, making sure that our vertical relationship is good before we ever attempt to address the horizontal ones.
Amen.
This is where we can pour out our hurt, our anger, our confusion, our frustration. He already knows. Right? He knows all the things that you've gone through already. It's not going to surprise him. But in this step, what's happening is that you are inviting him now into the process. And he is definitely somebody you want in this process. Not only is he the source of forgiveness, but he also gets it. He knows exactly what it's like from very firsthand experience of what it's like to suffer loss and pain and hurt. Right? He gets it. But he also knows that forgiveness is what brings healing and freedom.
Amen.
having God be the first step of this process is important because it also is an opportunity to bring clarity. I don't know if you know this, but sometimes because you're hurt doesn't always mean somebody has sinned. And so when we start this process by talking to God, when we bring him our pain, when we bring him our hurts and frustrations, there is a chance, again, because we're taking it to the source, that we may find out that it wasn't the result of someone's sin, but instead a result of our own pride getting bumped. Our preferences not being agreed upon. Disappointments in our life or, and probably usually, unmet expectations. And so talking to God first helps us to see the nature of our hurt and pain, giving us direction for healing, whether that's something we have to take care of with God first or finding out that there is forgiveness or there is sin that needs to be forgiven. Okay, which then we can move on to step two, face the hurt. Once we've talked to God and we are sure that there is something that needs to be forgiven, we can face that hurt honestly. And so it's time to bring the full truth of what happened to God, to bring it into the light. No minimizing, no denying it. This is where we name what happened in its fullness so that we can stop hiding from it.
Amen.
We can't fix it if we never face it. Which brings us then to step three, feel the pain.
Amen.
Facing the hurt is about facts. Feeling the pain is about what it cost. Once you face and name what happened, it's time to feel it, to address what came from it, to recognize the reality and the impact of that hurt. Sometimes it's a loss of trust, safety, or opportunity. Sometimes it's a loss of identity or even intimacy. Whatever the hurt was, you need to be able to fully name and feel the pain that it brought. I will admit, these are not fun steps. There's not a big line of people who are waiting to do this. But if we are ever going to truly be able to forgive fully in the same way that God has fully forgiven us, we need to be absolutely clear on what it is that we are forgiving.
Absolutely.
Because if we forgive, but we don't really know what it is that we've forgiven or what the hurt was or what it actually cost, there's a really good chance that there will be some leftover bitterness kind of hidden onto the side. And it will reattach itself. It will start to grow. And before you know it, you've picked that weight back up. But by doing the hard work of facing the hurt, feeling the pain, should there be any lingering bitterness, you could squash it.
Amen.
Because you know that you have already forgiven. And so then that brings us then to step four. Choose to forgive. Forgiveness is an act of obedience. It is a choice that we make before the other person apologizes, before they change, before they even realize that there was a problem. When we make the choice to forgive first, right, again, we are living out God's gospel standard. And because we've already considered the fullness of our hurts and pains, when we choose to forgive first, we are also echoing Jesus' final words on the cross. It is finished.
Amen.
We've released their debt.
Amen.
It's over. It's done. It's finished. This is the line in the sand that we have drawn to keep from holding the offense over them. It's not ours to hold. Now, I do want to point out that forgiveness is not the same thing as trust. Forgiveness does not require you to enter back into a full trusting relationship. Okay, trust is very easily broken and usually not as easily restored. And so that's going to take time if it ever happens. And so forgiveness doesn't mean that you need to return to hurtful or dangerous situations.
Amen.
Forgiveness definitely carries the hope of restored trust, but it's not a requirement or a guarantee. And so, when you're ready to put that weight down, or you don't want to pick it up in the first place, right, you might say something like this: God, today I choose to forgive so-and-so for such-and-such. Help me to lay this weight down. Help me to not pick it up again tomorrow. I want to be free from this. I want to be close to you. This is just a suggestion. I wrote this. Like, you can change this if you need to. But it should be something.
Amen.
And you may need to repeat it every so often.
Amen.
Every month, week, day, by the hour.
Amen.
And as you continue talking to God about this, as you continue giving it to Him, it will get easier and easier. Okay, then finally, step five, seek reconciliation. This brings us back to Jesus' instructions, right? To seek out our brother or sister and be reconciled. This is the forever part of God's forgiveness. Lamentations says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. As we seek reconciliation, we are reflecting the foreverness of God's forgiveness. We're keeping the door open. We are choosing mercy and forgiveness over and over, and sometimes over again.
Amen.
And we are extending grace in ways that are wise, that are safe, but in ways that reflect who Jesus is. Unfortunately, reconciliation isn't always possible. But by choosing forgiveness that is first, full, final, and forever, we're willing to stand with an open heart, with open invitation for a restored relationship, should they ever choose that for themselves. And when we consider our faith family here, Journey Church, seeking reconciliation, will be the thing that keeps us from walking in the doors Sunday morning wearing a smile, but holding on to these invisible barriers that keep us separated. We are better together when we forgive one another, and seeking reconciliation will keep us that way.
Amen.
Weird, you know how? Because that's what God did for us. And so maybe you're sitting here right now, and you're realizing you actually don't know God's forgiveness like this. Because while you may have heard about it, you have never actually received it. And so if this is you, might I encourage you to consider making today that day.
Amen.
Say yes to Jesus. Receive the forgiveness that has already been prepared for you. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And scripture tells us in that moment, you're saved. You cross into new life.
Amen.
You are clothed with Jesus. You become new. You are forgiven, full, final, and forever because of what of God did first.
Amen.
Today will always be the right day to choose Jesus, to receive that life-giving forgiveness, enabling you then to go and offer it to others. Today is the day. Don't put it off. For those of you who have already received this gift, are you holding on to something? Is there a weight that's keeping you back, that's distracting you, that's keeping you stuck, preventing you from connecting to one another, preventing you from being able to experience worship, keeping you from flourishing with us? Do you have something against a brother or a sister here today? Or do you know that they have something against you? If so, it's time to stop avoiding it. It's time to stop pretending that you're fine or it's whatever. It is time to forgive them like you have been forgiven. It's time to put that weight down. You don't need it. Give it to God. It's not yours to hold on to. Get rid of it. And he'll not only take it from you, but then he will even light the way towards reconciliation. Maybe God has put it on your heart to talk to this person today. You're feeling that right now. You're hearing it like, I should just do it right now. I should just go talk to them. Yeah, follow that. That's good. Right? Don't dismiss it like it was you're thirsty or you're hungry or it was last night's taco. It's God.
All right.
As soon as we're done, go find them. Even if you can't have the conversation right now, say, hey, we need to talk. Can we set a time? We need to talk. Stop avoiding it. It's time to let go of that weight.
Amen.
Maybe you're not the one carrying the unnecessary weight, but you've been helping somebody else hold on to it, kind of like what Aaron was doing for Josh. Because you want to be a good friend, you just kind of hang out with them. You stay silent. But if you're that friend, I need you to know that you don't need to stay silent anymore. They don't need your help holding this weight.
Amen.
They need help putting it down.
Amen.
And so if you have a friend who is stuck in their unforgiveness, the next time that they start venting or gossiping or avoiding certain people or places because of it, instead of agreeing with them, instead of going along with them, remind them of the forgiveness that they were once given. Encourage them to respond in the same way that God has responded to them. And so it starts by just simply looking them in the eyes and saying, hey, I love you. You gotta put that weight down, man.
Amen.
Get your heart right with God. Be free from this. And then offer to walk alongside them. This journey of faith that we have it written somewhere. This journey of faith that we take together only works because we take it together.
Amen.
We are way more than a group of random people that get together for a couple of hours on Sunday. We are the body of Christ. One body, many parts, designed for unity, purpose, mission, worship. But things are going to go wrong. There's going to be conflict that threatens to separate us. But if we choose to forgive the way that God has first forgiven us, if we seek reconciliation, not only will we be better together, we'll stay better together.
Amen.
We are better together when we forgive one another. When our forgiveness is first. When we truly forgive others the way that God forgave us. Can you imagine what kind of church this would be? Can you imagine the impact that we would have on one another, on our families, our friends, our co-workers, our neighbors and neighborhoods? We can be this church.
Amen.
Let's be this church. Yeah? We are so much better together when we forgive one another as the Lord has forgiven us, first, full, final, and forever. This is how God did it. So now let's do the same.
Amen.
I love you guys. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are such a good and gracious, loving, patient, and forgiving God. Simply, God, I just pray that you would help us be the same. No matter where we find ourselves, God, may we forgive the way that you have forgiven. May we love the way that you have loved. May we take the experience that we have gotten from our relationship with you, and may that be the driving force of our relationship with others. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' perfect name. Amen.